Ask you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As you turn there, I've been dealing with the topic of the Antichrist for, a short series in the church. We're going through the names of the Antichrist because of all that it reveals about the Antichrist. And surprisingly, those of you won't be surprised, those of you brethren and sisters too that have studied this, but there's as many names or perhaps more for the Antichrist than there are for the Christ. There are many, many names for the Antichrist. And what you learn is from studying these names is the same thing you learn about studying the names of God. You learn about his character. Of course, it's the opposite of the character of Christ. That's the whole point of the Antichrist. But my question this afternoon, and though I will be dealing with the Antichrist, because it's hard to deal with Antichrist, not deal with him, my real topic is not the Antichrist, but an Antichrist. And I'd like to pose the question, are you an Antichrist? Or do you sometimes behave as an Antichrist? And I think as we get into this, I pray that you'll understand what I'm getting at. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, or claiming to be God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, or now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Question here is, what prevents the Antichrist from being revealed? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, now this is a different kind of restraint here. There's something that prevents the Antichrist from being revealed, but that's not exactly what he's referring to here. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for every wonderful thing that you give us. I thank you for this fellowship. It's sometimes, Lord, it's overwhelming just to be even on this wicked earth with people that you love so much and that mean so much to you and have throughout the years. And we thank you for this real blessing. And I ask that you'd be with our families, those that are not able to be here, those that have had to already go back, that you'd just protect them, and those as different times that go back to their homes, that you would protect, Lord, and protect us from the evils of this world. I ask that you protect your people from the ungodliness in this world, from the president of these United States and other ungodly men that have ungodly intentions, that you'd protect your people from them. And I ask in that you'd save them, Lord. That's what I really want, Lord. That's what we really want to see, is to see them saved and to turn from sin. What a testimony that would be to see such ungodly men having gained power in such an ungodly way to stand before this nation and to repent, to turn from what they had before professed. But Lord, whatever your purpose is with them, I ask that you protect us from them. And Lord, also we ask that you protect us from ourselves, from our own sin. Lord, that we be a testimony for you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. names are used in Scripture very carefully, intentionally. They teach us many things. Of course, you think of the names of God, Elohim, and Jehovah, and all the names that go along with Jehovah, all the additions to Jehovah. Think of the difference between Saul and Paul. Think of the difference between Simeon or Simon and Peter. There's a lot to be learned from names. You learn about a man's character in the Bible from names. Even in this nation, up until recently, one hopes at least, names meant something. I mean, you know, what was I reading? Somebody had named their child Cinnamon, and I thought to myself, Cinnamon? Oh, I hope that doesn't mean anything. I don't know. I don't guess it means anything. That's, you know, kind of ignorant. I don't know. I'm sorry. And you know, all kinds of names that don't really have much meaning to them. But names used to always mean something. I am amazed that we spend so much time talking about the end times and so little time talking about the Antichrist. And it disturbs me. It really does. It worries me. The Antichrist is not simply a historical figure. I think part of the reason that there is no or very little belief in total depravity is nobody's taking a very close look at the Antichrist. Turn with me first to 1 John chapter 2. Now, I understand that there is the Antichrist. He is a historical figure. He will come at the end times. But even as we read this, and I had made a couple of mentions of this, I'll come back to it. There are some things. People tell me it's just not important whether it's a pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation or post-tribulation rapture. Brother, what difference does it make the Lord's coming back? Well, yeah, He is, but it makes a difference. It really does. It makes a very big difference. And there's many things. I certainly wouldn't have time to even scratch the surface, so I'm just going to deal with one issue. Why it's so important that the rapture is, in fact, a pre-tribulation rapture. First, though, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Antichrist. Doesn't say the Antichrist. It's not speaking about that historical figure that will appear. Anti. You know what that means? That means in opposition to, opposed to. Now, this term, Antichrist, it means the antithesis of Christ. It has really a double meaning. They're certainly similar, but there is a double meaning here. The word Antichrist certainly means simply he who opposes Christ. He who is in opposition to Christ. And also, yes, very certainly, that historical figure that will try to set himself up and in every way be the antithesis of Christ. That's why it's fascinating to go through, besides the character of the Antichrist, it's fascinating to go through some of the names, because you'll find out that where Christ is the Prince of Peace and the King of Israel, that the Bible refers to the Antichrist as that wicked Prince of Israel. What is that? That's the opposite, isn't it? That's the antithesis. You learn many things about his character as well. Go back to 2 Thessalonians very briefly, so we get a picture of where we are and where we want to go. I mentioned that in when we read here, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. There is something that must happen before the Antichrist is revealed. There's a historical event that must take place. Well, bro, there's nothing that prevents the Lord from returning, and that's what I'm talking about. There is nothing historically that must yet take place before the Lord returns for his people in the air. But that must take place before the Antichrist will be revealed. Anytime somebody tells you, he's the Antichrist, you can mark him off your list. He's not, because the Antichrist will not be revealed as long as we are here. Look at what it says. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And not saying he won't be alive. He won't even be working, of course. He may be alive this very day. He may be in political power, but he won't be revealed for who he is until we're taken out. And know ye now what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I don't have time to go into all of that. There's really a whole message right in that verse. But the Holy Spirit restrains sin. This is very important. It's a very important issue for this message. The Holy Spirit restrains, it's not all sin, obviously. Look around. But the Holy Spirit restrains sin in our time. Right. And he is being, right now, being taken out of the way, not by the power of the devil, because you've got to get over thinking the devil has any power. But God is removing his restraining influence from this world. Therefore, the wicked men and deceivers are waxing worse and worse. But haven't you ever talked to somebody or heard somebody talk about total depravity and somebody else say, that's ridiculous. There's no man is not totally depraved. Nobody's as bad as they could be. Well, that's not what total depravity means. It means in their soul there is no good if they do not have Christ. Amen. Of course, that also means that in our souls, the only good is Christ. There is no good in man without Christ. There is no good. There is only that which is depraved and filthy and wicked. But it is, to one degree or another, restrained. There is that which prevents. I want you to think about this, because I always like people to know where we're going before we get there. I want to submit to you that the Antichrist, though we understand that the Antichrist is this historical figure that will do all of these things, but the character of the Antichrist, he's simply that depraved man, totally unrestrained. Or in other words, he'll be as bad in the second half of the tribulation as man can possibly be. But you know what that then means? Because he's no different. He's just a man. That means that that very same spirit is in every lost soul. The Bible does not teach us that the Antichrist is some sort of supernatural character. God is the only power. Now, he's a historical character. Well, the devil will lend him power. Of course, the devil will lend him power. But the devil will lend him the only power the devil has, which is deceit and a smooth tongue. The devil has no other power. And I, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the devil's not tough, that I'd like to, you know, mix it up with him out in the back alley. You know, angels are capable of taking human form with great strength. Certainly, one would assume that fallen angels could also be pretty powerful. We're not talking about, I mean, you know, Muhammad Ali, back before when he got his brain hit too many times, he was a pretty tough dude. But he had no real power. No supernatural power. The devil's only power, and I say only, not meaning to minimize it, because we're not so bright and we are easily deceived, but only meaning it is singularly the only power he has is the power of deceit and the power of flattery, which are really one and the same. I don't know why people would think that so strange. Look at the current president of the United States. Now, I want the man to be saved. I really do. I don't hate him. But he is an ungodly man. And it's sad. It's a shame when the leader of a nation is so ungodly. I don't want to, I'm not here to speak evil about him. That wouldn't even be right. But he's an ungodly man. That's just a fact. I'm sure you've seen the Time magazine, right, where they called him the Messiah? They did. That was printed on Time magazine cover. And he's treated like the Messiah. How did he get that? You ever listen to what he says? He doesn't say anything, but he says it pretty. This man is capable of influencing people, even intelligent people, otherwise intelligent people, with a smooth tongue and lies. And he doesn't even have the power of the devil. Can you imagine that when Satan lends to a man his smooth tongue and his knowledge of deceit, be a lot more powerful than Barack Obama ever was. I mean, if this man, who does not have the smooth tongue of Satan, has the spirit of Antichrist, but does not have that smooth tongue of the devil that the Antichrist will have, and does not have the ability to deceive, the talent to deceive that the devil will lend the Antichrist, if that man can take the wealthiest, best educated nation on earth and turn them into morons, where they want to nearly worship, call the man, I mean Time magazine calls him the Messiah. If he, without those abilities lent to him, those talents of the devil, can do such a thing, can you imagine what a man speaking with the tongue of Satan, with the talent to deceive of the devil, what he will do? It's all smoke and mirrors. But smoke and mirrors are really powerful. You ever seen this guy calls himself, his name's Chris something. He calls himself, he's a magician, but he calls himself a mind freak. I saw him years ago on television, you know, he was just doing tricks. But I'm gonna tell you something. I mean, Houdini had nothing on this guy. He was levitating. He wasn't really levitating, okay? Not really. But boy, sure. I mean, they called him Mind Freak because he freaked people out, because he'd just go out on the street and stand on the street corner and you know, he'd come up off the, everybody's freaking out. He wasn't really mind. He wasn't really levitating. He put his hand through solid glass and brought it back out. He didn't really do that. He didn't really do it, But he freaked with people's minds. He messed with people's minds. And I mean, people were sure he really did it. He didn't really do it. So can you imagine if just men who have the spirit of the Antichrist can deceive so well what the Antichrist, who will be the epitome of a deceiver and a liar and a smooth talker, will be? He'll be very powerful. And yet, we're not talking about it. God is all powerful. And that means he is the only real power. But see, I want to bring that back to us. Barack Obama, I stand before the Lord. I don't believe I'm doing wrong in saying this, because it's evident from his life, from what he says and what he does, and his intentions has the spirit of the Antichrist. Right. Ted Kennedy and Nancy Pelosi, and sadly, it's sad, but they have the spirit of the Antichrist. I want you to know something, though. If you're without Jesus Christ, you have the spirit of the Antichrist. See, there's really not any difference, except in what you do. But it's not about what you do. It's about who you are. I mean, what you do is not unimportant. I don't claim that. But the real issue is who you are. Are you an Antichrist? Again, what does it mean? This word Antichrist, it means to be in opposition to Christ. Turn to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. And verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that is that time, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now look at verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Now who's the light? Well, the light's Jesus Christ. Now you're either Christ's. For Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Didn't he say that? Every single soul without Christ is opposed to Christ. Hateth the light and has the spirit of the Antichrist. Oh, you won't do in your lifetime those things, because there is this restraining power that we spoke about. No man on earth, as long as the Holy Spirit restrains, will be as bad as he could be. But those that go through the tribulation period, can you imagine what man will do to man? It'll be dwarfed. What man can do to man is nothing compared to what God will do. But can you just imagine what man will do to each other? When there is no restraint of the Holy Spirit preventing the spirit of the Antichrist, which works in every single lost soul. Oh, I'm not the Antichrist. I didn't say you were the Antichrist. If you're lost, you're an Antichrist. Amen. You are in opposition to Christ. You opposeth Christ. Hateth the light. I don't hate God. You hate God. Bible says you hate God. There is no indifference. If you are in opposition to God, the Bible says you hate God. Now that's something to think about for just a moment, because I want to show you where I'm going to go in just a minute. I'll come back to this, but what about those people in the Lord's churches that oppose? Am I saying they're lost? No. But I'm saying they're acting like they're lost. a whole bunch of people. I hope they're saved. But act like the Antichrist. Well, they act like they have the spirit of the Antichrist. They act like an Antichrist. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if you're opposed to Christ, you are acting, I didn't say you are, but you are acting like an Antichrist, because that's the very definition of the word Antichrist, in opposition to Christ. Oh, brother, you're taking this too far. I'm telling you, it's a very simple word. Anti, the opposite of, that is in opposition to Christ. The spirit of the Antichrist works. And I'm sad to say that it works even in the Lord's churches. The spirit of the Antichrist, I suppose one can simply say it's the spirit of sin. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. And hopefully this will clarify this if you're having trouble understanding what I'm getting at. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Anyone who is not a Christian, anyone in opposition to Christ, has that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even that he will come. Now that man, the Antichrist, he will come on the scene. But I tell you now, then, nearly 2,000 years ago, and now, already is in the world. It's in the heart of every lost soul. That spirit of the Antichrist, opposition to Christ. Antichrist is not some play figure, some, you know, evil villain in a Superman movie. It's not some made up nursery rhyme to scare children. It is that man that is the epitome of a lost man. It is that man that is perfect, and in this sense I mean complete, a perfect sinner. As wicked as he can be, and he will be. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. That's why he cannot be revealed until the Spirit of God is taken out of here. Now, I don't have time to go through it. I'd be happy if you've got an argument with it, if you don't understand it. I could, or any of the brethren here could help you to understand that the Spirit of God will restrain sin, but is already removing his influence from this wicked world, and it will get worse and worse until that time. But the saints of God are raptured out of here, and at that time, the Spirit of God is gone. I've heard people say, well, I don't believe all that, because where is America? Where is the greatness of America in the 7 years of tribulation? The only reason this nation remains great is the influence of the Word of God and God's people. And as that influence wanes, you will see the greatness. I'm not saying it might still be powerful. It might still be wealthy. That doesn't mean that it's great. The greatness of this nation will cease to exist when there are no longer Christians on this earth. When the Word of God no longer has any influence except to punish and to judge. But no influence in restraining, because the Spirit of God has removed his restraining power completely. And up pops the Antichrist. Revelation 13, And as long as the Spirit of God works His restraining power on this world, no one will be as bad as they could be. And the Antichrist will not be revealed. But when he leaves, when his restraining power is removed from this earth with the rapture of the saints, we meet Christ in the air, and people start to be just as bad as they can be. Now, when I say this, first of all, I want to throw in a caveat. I do absolutely believe, I am convinced, that there will be a physical mark of the beast. But the physical mark of the beast is merely a representation of the mark of the beast that's in a man's soul. It'll exist, this physical mark. But why 666? What does that mean? Revelation 13 and verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark. The mark will exist. It'll be a real mark. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. What is this number? For it is the number of a man. The number of a man in Bible numerology is 6. And his number is 666. 666. 666. Let me give you an idea, something to think about. What's the purpose of 666? Well, the number of a man, lost man, fallen man, is 6. And that can be proven out throughout the Bible. Now, all of us here, Miss Elsie, she'll smack you if you get this wrong because she doesn't like bad grammar. There is that which is bad. She's going to cringe when I say this, but I have to just to make the point. There is that which is badder. I know it's not right. I understand that, but I got to make the point, okay? There's that which is bad, there's that which is badder, and there's that which is baddest. There's that which is human lost, there's that which is human loster, and there's that which is human lostest. That is the epitome, the superlative of fallen man is the Antichrist. It is that man that is thrown up as a straw man in front of those that preach the truth about the fall of man and man's depravity, when it is said that no man is as bad as totally bad. There's no man that is as bad as man can be because of the restraining power of God. That is the only reason. But in their hearts, every lost soul is born with the mark of the beast, 666. They are totally depraved. Oh, they'll get a real number, a real mark. I don't mean that they won't. But what's the significance of the mark? It is as bad as they are capable of, and they will be no more capable. Why does it say that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse? Are they going to be born more depraved, more evil, more wicked in their heart, more sinful? No. In fact, it doesn't even say in the Bible that there will be almost no saved people. It simply says that those that are lost, that wicked men, evil men, those that are seducers will get worse and worse. Why? Because those that are lost will have that restraining power. This world will have the restraining power of the Holy Spirit removed gradually. And the lost, the wicked, will act out more and more wickedly. Think of homosexuality. 100 years ago, I believe every state in the union, at least every state I know about in the union, had it was against the law. Sodomy was against the law. Then there was the uproar. What? Two individuals, consenting adults, do in the privacy of their own bedroom is nobody's business and is not a matter of law. Did anybody believe it was going to stop there?
Oh, that's what they told us, though.
That's all. Just all they want to do is be left alone. That's not what they want to do. Now they've got these things. We're here. We're queer. Get used to it. Have you heard that chant? Get used to it. You're going to hear more. They've got groups called ACT UP, where queers go out. You know why they do the filthy things they do in their parades? It is to flaunt their wickedness, because the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is being removed from this world, and evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. Those that are ungodly are getting worse. Doesn't mean there won't be revival. The opposite of that should be what? Godly men and lovers of God should be waxing better and better, don't you think? But I haven't seen very much difference. I haven't seen much of a gap. Now, here's the problem with that. You might say, well, brother, that means we haven't gotten any worse. No, that's not what it means. If evil men, if let's say we just started here 100 years ago, here's where evil men and seducers, here's where their wicked acts are found on the behavior scale. And here's where Christians were. And there was a gap between them, a difference between them. But if evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, there should be a bigger gap, wouldn't there? Even if we never got any better. Even if Christians did not improve in these last days, the fact that the wicked are getting worse would widen the gap. But the problem is, we're going down with them. We're a little on top. We're a little ahead. But I'm afraid to tell you that I think the gap is getting smaller and smaller the further they go. We're running after them.
Amen.
Where, as they go down, we should be heading up. We should be widening the gap. They're widening the gap on their own by becoming more and more wicked. We should be even more so widening the gap by becoming more and more godly at a time where godliness, if it has ever been important, it's always been important, is more important than it has ever been. We should be more and more like Christ. Not less and less. Because you know what less and less is? That's going in the direction of what? Anti-Christ. Now, that's absolutely and certainly true that every lost soul has the spirit of the Antichrist. They are in opposition to Christ. They will not have this man to rule over them. But look at the Lord's churches. Would you expect to see the spirit of the Antichrist in the Lord's churches? But they're running after the world full throttle.
Right.
As the world, as evil men, as wicked men, as seducers become worse and worse, there's no widening gap. Why, it's getting harder and harder. The more wicked they become, it's getting harder and harder to tell the difference between a member of one of the Lord's churches. But Lord, be merciful to us. There used to be a difference between those that weren't members of the Lord's churches but just professed Christ. But we're running headlong. After them, the gap's getting small. We're not supposed to catch them. We're supposed to be gone. Even if we never got better, if we never improved, there should be a huge gap because they're getting so filthy and so wicked. We watch that garbage on television and we're getting used to it. Brother Harvey said, he used to say, we're boiling a frog. I can't say that right anymore. I haven't been out of Kentucky too long. Boiling a frog, something like that. I can say far. We're getting used to it. I had mentioned one time that my wife used to like to watch those shows about home and garden, you know, and how she likes to see where they paint the houses and all that kind of stuff and get ideas. She likes all that kind of arts and craftsy things. But, you know, Brother Titus and I were talking about it. You can't even watch that stuff anymore. I mean, home and garden, how is that? You know, because they've got fags. I don't know. I know I'm supposed to call them, what, happy people? Gays? There's nothing gay about being a fag. I mean, I'm trying to be nice here, but it's unnatural. They got sissy Marys running around town. I don't care if he's only talking about what color to paint your living room. I don't want to hear it from a sissy Mary. It's wrong. It's filthy. I mean, I have to say, oh, turn it off. I mean, where is there any peace? Where is there any escape? And in such an evil and filthy world, God's people ought to be getting better and better. Because there's only one place to go. The world holds less and less for us. When you can't watch home and garden television without having them try to cram perversion down your throat. Where are you going to go? Why, there's nearly no place in this world to feel at peace. I mean, you know, there's ticks when you go fishing. There's no peace. We ought to be heading closer to the Lord. Because this world, 100 years ago, Brother Dan was talking about, but that's not what, we don't get that. 50 years ago. When I was a little bitty kid, I mean, you know, strangest thing on television was Mr. Green Jeans always wore green jeans. I was wondering why that was, you know. Nobody was fags. Nobody was, you know, nobody was sleeping with anybody. My point is this. You could find a little bit of respite in that which was not worldly, but things of this world. Even there was some popular music that, you know, wasn't so bad. Why, do you know many hymns? The hymns that we sing today were put to the tunes of popular music of their day because they weren't wicked. Were you going to put a hymn to Hannah Montana? Or you, what's that nut girl that shaves her head? And you'll know. I don't know her name, but I don't and don't need to know. And Paris Hilton, all these people. There is very little in this world attractive. Less and less all the time. Oh, God's creation is still beautiful and wonderful. And there's still some good things to enjoy. There's fellowship with Christians. But, you know, it used to be you could be around lost people and they'd have us at least for preachers. It used to be if somebody mentioned today, used to be if somebody cursed in front of a preacher, they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, preacher. You know. Today, I mean 19, 20-year-old girls. Cause I was in the army as a career soldier and didn't hear men talk like that. The filthiness that's in this world, it ought to be catapulting us upwards because we are so repulsed by what is in the world. And yet the gap gets smaller and smaller. What is wrong with us? That is the spirit of the Antichrist. I said, well, if you're saved, you can't have that spirit. Well, you're not possessed by that spirit. But I want to tell you something. You are shackled to the flesh. And that flesh loves that spirit. And we get used to this stuff awful quick. It's sad. But it's true.
I mean, it's a shame. You ask a Christian, they tell you about a movie. Said, "Oh, it was a cute little movie, you know. It was a really nice movie." I said, "Was there any cursing in it?" "Oh, I don't think so, preacher." They really didn't know. They didn't notice it. I mean, I've got that, what do you call, deal that takes out the cursing out of stuff just in case something comes on there. And I mean, there's stuff that's so bad that doesn't even work. They can't keep up with it. And I'm not talking about R-rated stuff where I would expect it to be, or PG-13 stuff. I'm talking about stuff where the world thinks it's for children. Taking the Lord's name in vain is nothing. It's not even a curse word anymore. Boys, when I was, and I was, I'm not that old. When I was a little boy, boys got their mouths washed out in public school for saying that. And Christians don't even recognize if there was something nasty said in something that was entertainment. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. I just want to close with this thought. If you're lost, you have the spirit of the Antichrist. And I'm telling you, you're headed the same place he is. The Bible tells me that the battle of Armageddon, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. For the worm dieth not. That is, there will be burning and burning and burning and no cease. The smoke of their torment will rise up, the Bible tells me in Revelation, to the nostrils of the Lord. The smell, the aroma, the smoke of their torment will rise up into heaven forever. And if that's not long enough, and forever. You need to turn to Christ, because you are in opposition to God and you do hate God. And that's why you need to repent. And all the things that you do and think and say are only a proof of what's in you. For it's what within a man that defileth him. That's where those things come from. But I want to ask you this question. As a member of the Lord's churches, do we ever oppose Christ? Do we ever find entertainment and joy and happiness in that which is not pleasing to the Lord? I mean, that's not even a rhetorical question. We all know the answer to that. Do we ever act in a way that opposes Christ? Church unity is a good thing, but I'll tell you what, and it is, and I mean that, and it should be, but you know what it should be? Church unity should exist because every member of that church is submitted to Christ. And so they're all going the same direction. They're all unified because they're all submitted to the will of God. That's where church unity should come from. I've been around churches that are unified all right, and it's the wrong direction. Oh, we don't want to have the spirit of the Antichrist. We don't want to be found in opposition to God. Even the lost Sanhedrin knew that. Said, if this is of God, let us not be found opposing it. Remember, it's the Lord's churches. We cannot be in opposition to Christ, because we then do behave with the spirit of the Antichrist.